and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Never yet. God, I'm still having hang-ups. I'm still having trouble with myself. I'm in this because, not because of no one else. I'm in this because of me, God. It's because of my lack of faith, God. I'm in this, God, because of my weaknesses. I'm in this because I yielded to temptation. I'm in this because you gave me a way out, but I choose not to take it. I'm in this because of me, God. And that's how you develop an intimate relationship with God, when you begin to be honest with God. To be God's people is not only require an intimate relationship, but also it requires integrity. Because knowledge of God, watch this, demands integrity. Integrity means wholeness, undivided, unimpaired, completeness. Integrity is the consistency of our behavior. That means as I get close to God, my behavior changes. What used to upset me don't upset me as much because I'm getting closer to God. Let me backtrack that and rephrase it like this. How I used to act about that which upsets me, I don't act that way anymore because of the closeness to God. Now, come on now, let's get there now. And I know we all are not there yet, but we're trying. But the closer you get to God, the stronger you will become. Let me tell you how you get close to God. Sitting through a 30-minute sermon is the only time you open up your Bible. It's not you getting close to God. In your spare time, getting into God's word and allowing God's word to get into you. Yeah, I'm going to say it again. Attending Sunday school, showing up at Bible study, learning of God, studying God's word while the word is studying you. You get intimate with him, and you begin to know briefly part of the mind of God and what God expects out of you. And then when something arises in your life, that word you've been meditating will rise at the same time, and you will learn how to obey God's word in any circumstance. But if you don't have no word, you don't have no power. You claim you know God, but your character says different. You claim you know God, but your personality and the way you respond to situations claims different. God's word, God's will, God's way should be intertwined in our lives. And the only way we can do that, we've got to get into God's word. Knowing God requires intimacy. It requires integrity. And so what boils down to it simply, you must be obedient to the word of God. See, he says, for my people are destroyed. So divine knowledge is important, number one, because we're God's people. Number two, we will avoid destruction. God is very clear. Very clear, and is right in black and white, that we're destroyed because of our own doing. Our own initiative, because we have rejected God. And therefore, we have rejected everything God has to say concerning our lives. You see, let me show you how God looks at things. When you're sitting under the word of God, and the word of God is being preached, and you won't respond to the word because of who's preaching, God has a problem with you. Because you're not supposed to be looking at who's preaching. Faith don't come by looking. Faith comes by. If you stop looking and start hearing, then you'll respond to what God is trying to tell you. But when you reject the word, God says you reject me. So we have to understand that we become sensitive. None of us want to be offended. None of us want to be hurt. But when you reject God's word, you offend the very heart of God. And God is not the type of God that will push himself on us. One thing we should understand, that our attention should be on God. But we are not destroyed because of a lack of education. But rather, we are destroyed because of a lack of depth, studied, intimate relationship in scriptures, in prayer, and communication with God. Our character is shaped in this day and time. Our character and our personalities are shaped by cultural values rather than the knowledge of God. We are too busy trying to fit in. We are too busy trying to be like everybody else. We are too busy trying to make it in the social level while we are dying spiritually. God said you are destroyed not for the lack of money, not for the lack of education, not for the lack of transportation, but you're destroyed for the lack of knowledge. And I know people who have everything materially the heart could wish for, but still miserable. Because they don't have what they really need. Let me tell you something. Money can only give you peace on a material level. But when you're sick in your soul, money can't buy that peace. When the doctor have handed you a bad report, money can't heal that peace. But I know somebody that can take care of issues that money never will. His name is God. And see, the reason why you're more dependent on material things, because that's the only thing you know. But when you get to know God, all of that stuff is secondary, because God, money don't wake me up in the morning. Money don't give me a peace of mind. It is nobody but God. And I've got to have a heart to get to know him better. Because if I don't know God, I'm slowly decaying spiritually. You got people in the church come every Sunday, but they are decaying. Never pick up their Bible from Monday through Saturday. You're decaying. Never meditate. You spend more time on Facebook than in the book. Whew, y'all don't get what I'm saying. You're slowly decaying. You have to develop a love and a desire to know God. And knowing God and the desire to get to know God comes with sacrifice. You have to know God. And let me tell you something. Have you ever got into deep meditation? And when you get into deep meditation, phones start ringing. People drive by the house unexpectedly. Kids knocking all on the door. Because that's... Now, I ain't putting a wife in there. I'm leaving that alone. That's where Satan gets his busiest. Because he don't mind you coming to church at Mount Zion. He don't mind you clapping every now and again. He don't mind you putting a smile on your face and say a silent hallelujah. But when you get into deep, in-depth study with God, when you're getting ready to have the intimate time with God, Satan don't want you to do that. Because when you start doing that, you know how to handle him better. See, Jesus didn't fight Satan with some majestic power given to him by the Father. He fought Satan with scripture. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Every time Satan tried to tempt him, Jesus said, it's written. He tried to take him to the mountain. Jesus said, it's written. He said, bow down and worship. Jesus said, it's written. See, you don't know what's written if you never read what's written. Yeah. Without knowledge, we are destroyed. And the good news, here's your praise cue. Regardless of what we do and how we avoid and how we walk away from God, here's your praise cue. God always makes the first move. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world, he gave his only. Y'all missed it. He made the first move. Let me say it again. You walked away from God, but he said, whosoever will, he still makes the best move, the first move. And see, when people try to hold you hostage with your history, you will allow them to hold you hostage, even the devil to hold you hostage with your history if you have no scripture to back it up. See, Satan always want to remind you of what you used to be. He tries to hinder you when you worship because what you did last week, and he try to remind you if you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done all of that last week. Then you need to have some scripture. You need to say, wait a minute, Satan, wait a minute. You don't understand. If I confess my sins to Christ, he is faithful and just to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You need to understand that any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then Satan said, but why are you praising God with sin? Why, Satan, you don't know the scripture says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Then why you still got something to say where the scripture says let the redeemed of the Lord say so? You're hurting, you're broke, you don't know how you're gonna make it. And why you still praising God? Because the scripture said I must bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be. And the only way you can do that is to have intimate relationship with God. He said we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. People of Israel were being destroyed because they were rejecting knowledge. And today's problem is not a lack of information, but the lack of knowledge in God. And I don't know about you, but I want to have a relationship with God. And you should always be in awe of God, because God is blessing us with new mercies every morning. Yesterday's mercy was good, but today's mercy, I wish I had some. I'm here this morning because of another mercy. I'm here standing behind this pulpit because God has been merciful to me. You are able to sit out in the pew and hear the word of God because God has been merciful to you. He woke me up this morning, and that's just enough for me to say, Lord, thank you. You see, it's one thing to hear about God's grace, but it's another thing to experience God's grace. How many can testify that I done been through some stuff in my life, but it was grace and mercy? You really want to know what God's power can do? See, in my life, my friends turned out to be my enemies, but then my enemies turned out to be my friends. Jesus is alive and well. He said, we are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. So get ready to leave you. He said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, he said, I will also reject you. You're no priest to me. You're not helping me along this way. You're not teaching the real thing. But you're too busy. You'll teach gossip. You'll teach things to bring your brother or sister down. He says in the text, you're no priest to me. When you have more desire than hurting somebody, than lifting somebody up, he says, you're no priest to me. He said, because you have rejected knowledge. But then look what he says. Thou hast forgotten the law of the God. He said, I will also forget your children. Your arrogance and your ignorance can bring a curse on your own children. Oh, let me say it again. Parents, can I borrow you for a minute? How many of them did so much wrong in your life? And then when your kids come along, you see them following your pattern. Oh, I wish I, come on, don't, you ain't get that hold on me now. You tried to raise them right, but you see a part of your old self rising up in your children. Now, here comes the knowledge of God. You get to be like Job did. Job prayed for his children just in case they would sin in their heart against God. Parents, can I tell you something? Be careful what you say your child won't do. Yeah, be careful what your child, when you say your child have never said this and never said that. Quit going to school, jumping on the teacher, hollering about, I know my child didn't do that. You don't know what your child is doing behind your back. Your job as a parent is to pray that they stay close to God. We've got to be careful. Just because your child is on the honor roll, just because your child is on the dean's list, just because your child is doing well in college and your fellow church member's child is in and out of jail, don't you sit there and shake your head like your child is better than them, because you don't know what your child is doing. I don't know about you, can I borrow myself? The weed I smoked, I didn't do it in front of my mama's face. The things I did, I didn't do it in front of my mama's face. As far as my mama was concerned, I was the eighth child. But mama wasn't crazy. She knew she had a life that was wretched herself. And she knew what she didn't do in front of her mama's face. And she knew that she was naive to know that what I'm going to do, I wasn't going to do it in her face. So what she did, she prayed for me. She said, I don't know what he's doing when I'm not around, God, but you know. And God, I want you to protect my child. That should be every parent's prayer up in here. It's all, yeah, and I want you to lift your child up. And I want you to encourage your child. But don't put your child over somebody else's child. Because just because they're making A's, they could be making F when it comes to life. They could be making F when it comes to peer pressure. Just pray to God that he will take care of your children. As I leave you, I leave you with this, Mount Zion. If you don't know Jesus, get to know the man. Get to know the man that died for our sins. Who is Jesus? He was the fourth man in the furnace. Who is Jesus? He was the third man in jail with Paul and Silas. Who is Jesus? He was second man on the Isle of Patmos with John. Who is Jesus? He's the first fruit of them that sleep. Can I tell you, we have a lot of prophets, but we only have one Savior. We have a lot of dominion and denominations, but we only have one church. We have a lot of creeds, but we only have one gospel. We have a lot of altars, but there's only one Lamb. We have a lot of mountains, but there's only one Calvary. We have a lot of cemeteries, but there's only one empty grave. Because on Calvary, Jesus died for all of us. On Calvary, Jesus died for the whole world. Because as long as he was living, Jesus says, I'm coming like a thief in the night. But don't you know that wasn't the only time that Jesus stole something? He stole hunger from 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He stole sickness from a woman with a 12-year-old issue. He stole the stain out of death. He stole the victory from the grave. But when he got to the cross, he stopped stealing and he started giving. He gave his head to the thorns. He gave his hands and feet to the nails. He gave his side to the sword. He gave his body to the grave. He gave his name to the scorn. He borrowed a grave for the weekend, because early that Sunday morning he got up with all power in his hands. Knowledge told me that he went to the right hand of the Father. He's sitting there right now making intercessions for you and me. Knowledge tells me why he's there. He's preparing a place for you and me. Knowledge tells me he's coming back again to receive us unto himself. But before he comes, can I tell you another thing that knowledge tells me? He rocks me when I get weary. He watches over me in the midnight hour. He feeds me when I'm hungry. He clothes me when I'm naked. He's my all in all. He's my bridge over troubled water. He's my company keeper. He's my rose of Sharon. He's the joy in my heart. Is there anybody here got a made up mind that you're gonna praise the Lord in spite of your circumstance? You're gonna stand up in the sanctuary, because knowledge told me that the Lord's been good to me. Knowledge told me he kept me all last week. Knowledge told me I should have been dead, sleeping in my grave, but the Lord has been good to me. Is there anybody here? No, the Lord's been good to you. Is there anybody here? No, the Lord has healed your body, soothed your doubts, calmed your fear, unfolded your arms, dried your tears, lifted up your head, put clapping in your hands, running in your feet. If you know today that the Lord's been good to you, you ought to stand on your feet and say, Lord, if it had not been for your grace, if it had not been for your mercy, I'd have been dead a long time ago. But oh joy, oh joy have brought me from a mighty long way, and this joy that I have, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. It need good. It is important to have divine knowledge, because I know one thing. I may not be what you want me to be. I may not say what you want me to say, but knowledge just told me I may not be all I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be. Thank God he brought me from a mighty long way. Thank God
God, he dried my tears. Thank God, he's been good to me. Isn't he all right? Wave your hand in the sanctuary. Isn't he all right? Tell your neighbor, if you don't mind, grab your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, go on and tell him. Say, neighbor, I don't know everything, but one thing that I know, the Lord has been good to me. The Lord has made a way for me. Ain't he good? Say it!
Divine knowledge. It is important. It's important because we're God's people. It's important because we avoid destruction. It's important because we would avoid rejection. And as I get to know God, the doors of the church are open. He said, you have to know me. You have to know me. You have to know my word. You have to know what I would say. I see bumper stickers all the time. What would Jesus say? You can't answer that question if you don't know his word. You have to know what God says through the study of his word. This is how we become intimate with God. To some people, they take away the simplicity of salvation by saying you got to come on this day, you got to say this way. You got to do this way when the word of God simply says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, then shall. That's it. Then after that, the aftermath of conversion and salvation, you begin to grow in Christ through the knowledge of his word. Proverbs tell us, lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will direct your path. The doors of the church are open. We stand on the invitation. The reason why we stand, because we want to stand and welcome those who are trying to make a decision right now. And we saints of God want to let you know we're standing because we're standing with you. And we're praying with you that you would come and get to know God. You don't get to know a person until you spend time with them. And when you begin to spend time with the individual, you begin to know their likes and their dislikes. You begin to know what they love and what they hate. And God said, here I am. Come, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. Through my word. The doors of the church are open. Why don't you come while the blood is running warm in your veins?
You have been listening to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church broadcast with Reverend Roger L. Green, Sr., pastor. We invite you to come and experience the change at our church located at 11th, 16th, and Day Street here in Alexandria. If this broadcast has been a blessing to you, we would like to hear from you by calling the church at 318-448-1604. That's 318-448-1604. We invite you to tune in again next week at this same time for the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast.
KAYTKQJO.
Does anybody want the Lord to make him over? Just begin to celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah.
soul.